I'm a day in Madari, and then there was mostly a plane for white people. You know, they would go and get paid $2.50 to play a dance. And that's what I say, nowadays, I can understand that. Them accordion play, they got a whole band, and it don't sound better than when Amadei and my daddy would play by themselves with a triangle, or sometimes they had somebody to bass the fiddle behind them. You know, they had to make that music. Nowadays, the accordion play. Well, the best one I heard was Nitin Napshire. Nitin Napshire could sit on and play that accordion all the way through. They got some of them musicians, I guarantee, if they would have to play a tune all the way through, they cannot do it. I have met a guy there in Lake Charles, I don't know, I never heard him. He was talking about, I play an accordion. And they playing there. I said, won't you go and, Raymond Latour was playing there. I said, won't you go and play? Raymond gonna let you play. Me and Raymond was raised together. So Raymond said, yeah, man. Oh, no, but I ain't got my band. Well, I said, an accordion is not a whole band. I said, I play a fiddle. I said, I don't have to have a band to play a fiddle. Say, well, won't you get there and play the accordion? I said, you one of them type that you play a little verse on it, and then when it's time for you to play again, the dance is over with? No. Well, I say, you should be able to go and take his accordion and play. I say, I don't have to have some special people to play. I say, I play with anybody, whether they're good or not, which it don't make me no different. You know, after I find out how they go, I go their way. And a lot of people been telling me, how in the hell you gonna go play with so-and-so? I say, yeah, he do his thing, and I'm gonna follow him. And that's what you call a musician. You take Nitin Napshire, could sit on. One man that surprised me is Mouton, who play with that other guy there. When he's with a band, he's good. And I heard him on TV by himself. That's not too hot. No. In them time, them people had to sit on there with them old kerosene lamp. And when I started with my daddy there, I was about 11 years old, I guess. I couldn't play too much, but I could follow. They used to put a table, set a table in the house and two chairs on top. And we would play. Oh, yeah. No, them Amadei and my daddy and them, they had never known what a microphone was or nothing like that. It was all done naturally.
Would you ever play for white dancers or pretty much mm-hmm.
dancers? Oh, yeah. You know, they had this stupid idea that it was a funny thing. We played for the white people. When they started having club, we played for Club Avalon for a long, long time. And, I still think about that. When we go to play dances, we could get in there from the front or anywhere. Then the next day, if you wanted to buy a drink, you had to go in the back if you was black.
How did that happen?
And that's what I like to know, you know. That's the way they had it. They had a place, they always had a sign, either black or colored. They had a sign there, if you wanted to go buy a drink. And I kept telling the boss, I said, God, don't, that's stupid. We was here last night playing a dance. Now today we can't go in the front and get a drink. You had to go in the back. Yeah, but we never had no problem, though. We always did go and play and They would treat us nice, you know. And my daddy and Amedee, he was the lazy type of man. You know, he was the baby of the family. And he didn't like to work. He always was playing. He'll go somewhere, like if he knew there somebody was making a big butchery or something, he'd go over there and sit on with his accordion and play there, and they'll feed him and maybe give him a piece of meat, you know, for him to take to home to his brother. He was living with one of his brother. And his brother was, he was about a mile apart. Yeah, on the farm, he was a farmer. My daddy was a farmer. We was all the time together. I was born at the right time to know all the musicians. I like Leo Soalo, I known all of them. And Mayus Lafleur and them. They used to come to the house all the time. Oh yeah, come meet my daddy. He was a better accordion than Amedee, but he wouldn't sing too much, you know. Amedee's mouth kept him going. He was always there. Hey, Cadon, he would tell my daddy's name was Adam, but they would call him Cadon. Cadon, he says, I would be just like Zero in dust if it wouldn't be for my mouth, because he couldn't play like my daddy. And they was all the time together. And I known they had Leo, and he had a cousin too. But I don't know, he was just like Alphonse's brother, Elius Swallow. He could play the fiddle good, yeah. He was Leo's first cousin. But he just liked it to play when he wanted to play. And he would come to the house too. All the musicians used to come.
Where did you live at that time?
In the back of Basel, about 5 miles north of Basel, northeast of Basel. That's where I was born and raised there. And they used to come there all hour. Hey, Cadon, we came to meet you. You know, sometime it was 1 o'clock at night. I remember I was a small boy there. We always had a bunch of chicken in a chicken coop, you know. And we want to eat some gumbo. Then my mama used to come wake me up. Go catch a rooster in the chicken coop or get one of them big hen. And she'd make a gumbo. They always was going to give her a little bit of something, you know. But Leo and them, all them people there. And then they had another one. I don't know whether he's still living or not. They had Amedee Bro, and then they had Moise Dugas. Boy, he was an accordion too. The last time I saw Moise Dugas, I saw him in Eunice there. He had one of them little cheap accordion. That's how I recognize him, because he was a tall and he was a double joint man. He had some big arm. And I said, that's Moise Dugas. And fella said, you know him? I said, yeah, he came to the house so many times. I said, but he was getting old, you know. You see, if my daddy and Amedee and them would be living, them people would be about 88 or 89 years old, I imagine.
Did you ever want to play fiddle for a living, for a full-time?
No, I never thought about it. Yeah, no, I never did thought about it. You know, what they had going on long time ago, they had this habit of, if you was a musician, you was supposed to be a lazy man. You know, and see how they figure, if you play music, you got to be lazy, you know. Most of the musicians was lazy in them time. Like Amedee, you know, you couldn't get him to work much unless it was some easy job where he could take off whenever he want. And I started working. My daddy and I was young, a young man. Then in them time, we couldn't get no welfare or nothing, so I had to go to work to support me and my sister.
Yeah, Canada asked you about whether you ever thought about playing the fiddle professionally as a musician or what?
No, I never did thought about that. You know, to me, it surprised me, you know, because to my own idea, and that's the truth, here is just like Due Bulfa told me. He said, Henry, there can be 100 fiddlers. And he says, I know whenever you're going to be playing. Well, I said, what's so different? He said, I know your son. He said, your son is different from the other son, you know. And to me, you know, I'm just doing just like the rest, you know. I play the tune and that's it. And so I always thought about playing music to have fun, make a little money, you know, and I never thought we was gonna go that far. I remember one year they had I used to have a string band, and we was playing at Porfremo Little Hall. I would play one Saturday, Clifton, and Cleveland, his brother, that's all he had, him and Cleveland. He can tell you that any day. He'll play this Saturday, I'll play the next Saturday, me and my band. And there came some people, I don't know where they was from. They wanted us to join the musician union. That was one of the biggest laughs we ever had. But Clifton said, what you want us to? He was working in Port Arthur in them time, but he would come down in Louisiana and he said, Henry, what you think? I say, man, why we would go and give them people money for what? Oh, man, we ain't gonna do no more than have fun and make a few dollars.
What did the union promise you they would do for you?
Protect you, you know, from record and stuff. And we had never record nothing then. And we never thought of, we thought we was gonna stay right. I had quit. And Clifton can tell you that right now. I had sold everything I had. That's it. I stayed there. The first time I quit, I stayed 3 years. I didn't play. Then they started bugging me. I started again. Then the last time I said, well, this time I'm gonna get rid of that. So I sold my fiddle and my amplifier and everything. So I ain't gonna touch that stuff no more. Got to Elton one day. Clifton was there. Why you working tonight, man? Well, I said, no, why? I said, I don't play that thing no more. Oh, you must be crazy. I said, I don't know, but I said, I ain't playing no more. I said, man, that's the time for you to go. Get yourself together. And he says, man, I don't travel now. I done went to New York and different places, man. He says, you're turning me down. He said, we're the two best from Louisiana. You're the best on the field. And he says, they're going to have to go to work to beat me on the accordion. Well, I say, they can't do nothing with you on the accordion. Not a piano note, for sure. And go and buy yourself something and get back on the way. But I didn't listen to that, you know. Then I was staying in Oberlin in them time. So they had a guy that he came on. Me and him was good buddy. And yeah, I knew his father-in-law and mother-in-law. He said, Henry, he says, oh, it's my wife's birthday. And my mother-in-law's birthday come on the same day. He said, I want you to come play. We're going to have a party. I said, play what? I said, man, I don't have nothing. I sold my stuff. Oh, no, but he was. Oh, yeah. Yeah, when he first came to Basile there, he was playing with Leo Swallow. He was playing the steel. And he was a good musician, was kind of like Clifton. He had bought a fiddle with an old black man from Mississippi. The man didn't know how to play the fiddle. Somebody in his family had left him this fiddle. And Harry Short went and bought the fiddle for $5 on credit, and he never paid that black man. That's the way he was. Then he came there to Basilda, he had that fiddle there, and he was playing the steel behind Leo Soalou. But steel and all, he was learning how to play the fiddle. Then he started, when he got good enough, every time they would play a dance, Leo would let him play a few tunes on his fiddle. Then he got better than Leo. And that son of a gun could sing French and English. And that's when he got real good, you know, he took off on his own. Oh, that was a messy little son of a gun, a little redhead. And he didn't care about nobody but himself. Just like Clifton. Most of the time when he had his band, he changed musician, I don't know how many times, because he didn't want to pay him. He'd go and collect the money and said they hadn't paid him and raise all kind of hell. Oh yeah, he was messy, but you talk about a good musician now.
You know, Ken, with all the hard
times... We was the same age, mm-hmm. me and him.
You know, with all the hard times you've had, you've managed to send some of your kids to school and...
They went to school. You know, when I went to school, you see, my education is a fifth grade education. We didn't have but 3 months of school. And you had to be pretty good to make a grade in two school time, you know. I went, I don't know how long, but I went to the fifth grade. Then I always said, well, if ever I got some children, long as they're gonna be with me, they're gonna go to school. And every one of my kids, I got six of them, they all finished high school. I got one that got a good job in Houston there. She worked for some lawyer there. She went to, after she graduated from high school, she went to Houston and meet the rest. And she went to some type of school for 2 years, I believe. She wasn't getting much while she was going to school. Something like $50 a week, and they kept laughing. I says, maybe later on it's gonna help, which it did. Now she make about $2,600 a month. She worked for some lawyer there. She know how to use computer and stuff. And then my baby one, she's a lawyer. But they all finished, all six of them, they all finished high school, and they can defend themselves pretty good, you know. But I seen to it that they go to school, you know, because I didn't get that opportunity. When I was going to school, by the time I could have got where I could probably do something for myself, that's when my daddy died and my mama died the year after. And WEC was the name of the game. I had to go to work. Yeah. But I don't regret it. You know, it makes you learn. Sometimes hard time make you learn a lot of things that you need to know, you know. My children, I'm proud of them because they tell me, you know, some stuff I've been hard on them, trying to show them why it was going to do some good. And now they see it pay off, you know.
How do you feel about your kids and your music?
Oh, I'm proud of them. Except there's one thing I can't understand. Out of the six, now one of them don't play music. They're not, they took on their mama's side. She never was too much with music. And if she hear it, it's all right. If she don't, it's still all right. And they're all like that. Well, when they got a birthday or something, they might have a bunch of records, they might play some and have fun, and that's it. And I told them, I says, you all don't have to play a fiddle if you want some instrument. I said, I'm willing to buy it for you all, but it's not in them.
Mm-mm. Why did you play music?
Well, I just want, in them time, I wanted to play so bad. That's the truth, yeah. I would go and listen at the other people. I say, oh no, I want to play, I want to play, I want to play, I want to play. And which I worked it hard to get to learning. And now after I learned the thing really good, you know, it was just like anything else, you know. Just like a job, going to work, and if you got a days off, you got a days off. But I never thought about going into that to make money or nothing like that. I never thought it was gonna happen, you know. And that's the thing. A man can make more money playing music than anything in the world. You don't ever know. Look at Rockin' Sidney. Rockin' Sidney, I've been knowing him for quite a few years there. When he started, he was playing his harmonica and his guitar. And he told me the first instrument he played was a piano. He made one or two records with his harmonica and guitar there. But it didn't make a hit. And now look where he's at. Yeah, with music. Yeah, I talk with him, he says, man, he says, you don't ever know when you got the right number or not. He said, one number can get you way up there if the people like it.